Well, by my count, we have now reached the 30th day of the government shutdown. And as you have heard, no doubt, in the news, folks are beginning to really feel the pinch, not be able to pay their mortgages, not be able to pay their bills, not be able to buy food. This has affected those who don't just rely on the government for their paychecks. It affects the support industries and the private sector as well. I heard in the news the other day about restaurants in the District of Columbia who are feeling the effects quite acutely, and so they're really working together as a community to try to help people out, giving out food. I believe when people rally for smaller government, they don't often take into account how government jobs bolster the private sector, and in fact, the whole economy, but that discussion may be for another time. All the finger-pointing happening on Capitol Hill does nothing to renew hope in our government. I have heard of restaurants, though, who have responded. And this doesn't always make the headline news, but you hear it sometimes. Giving away free meals, as I said, in District of Columbia. There are churches setting up food pantries. There are celebrities making breakfast in airport terminals. You see, when we get past the bickering and the blaming, we do realize we all depend on each other. And that when some people have needs, there are always people who have the means. Put another way, all people have a role in supporting and maintaining the common good. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, "Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others?" This has become the motto of many volunteer organizations and sponsor events on MLK Day. Dr. King believed that strength came from a community working together as a whole. I believe he would be the first to advocate for supporting our brothers and sisters who are presently furloughed and say that we have the means as a community of reducing their suffering and meeting their needs. For after all, his life mission was to be a voice for the oppressed, for the least in the world, for those who by no fault of their own suffered unemployment and discrimination and acts of outright hatred. He was a voice for the voiceless and the powerless and the homeless, the helpless, and even the hopeless. He was a voice who called out the nation's complicitness in systematic oppression with the conviction and the holy passion of a prophet from God. And some listened. Some acted. But some mocked. And some people plotted his death. Dr. King also said in his book, Strength to Love, "The ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. The true neighbor will risk his position, his prestige, and even his life for the welfare of others." The suffering of government employees is a reflection of the suffering of groups of people throughout our history and the history of the world. Those who by no fault of their own are subject to systematic oppression. When times are good, or rather perhaps when the suffering isn't so clear to us or is distant from us, then our willingness to sacrifice is not tested. We can remain in a state of denial, silent and complicit with the systems of oppression. Our impacted government employees are like us. They are our next-door neighbors. They're our fellow church members. They're our friends. They're our children's friends' parents. And so it is that their suffering is much more palpable than, say, immigrants at the border or the homeless who sleep beneath the bridges. If the church responds to only those who are like us, then I believe the church fails to be the prophetic voice of Jesus Christ. This, my friends, today is not an indictment For if it were, I would be denying that within each of us is a voice waiting to be spoken. It is the voice of the Spirit that speaks truth to power, that demands justice for the oppressed. Each of us has been gifted with a voice, with a power that is different in each of us, and yet works together for the common good. Paul, in his letter to the church in Corinth, speaks to this reality that before the Spirit was gifted to the Corinthians, before they knew the saving love of God revealed in Jesus Christ, they were led astray by voiceless idols. He says, though now they can declare Jesus as Lord only because they have the Holy Spirit. You need a litmus test, that's it. That's all. In other words, their entire nature has been redeemed. They are a new creation, walking in a newness of life. And just as creation has its orders that work together, so too their natures are meant to work together, cooperating with each other. But always remembering, God gives gifts. God activates the gifts. God makes the gifts work for the common good. Many church communities believe strongly in these gifts enumerated in this passage. You may have heard them read before. They also believe that they have a supernatural manifestation. I may have mentioned to you, once when I was in college, I attended a revival service. This was a rip-roaring service. During one point of the service, this traveling evangelist calls forward the whole assembly. And suddenly, there's a rush of speaking in tongues. You couldn't help but get caught up in the experience. But later, after the service, after the fervor had died down, as folks left in silence, I couldn't help but wonder, what was the enduring purpose of this manifestation? I also, by the way, didn't hear any interpretations of the tongues, which seems to be required in verse 10, but set that aside. Fast forward to the future, I was in seminary, and I was walking by Miller Chapel, which is our on-campus chapel. Suddenly, there's a group of visitors who descend the steps, and they come down, and two women come beside me and ask if I have been anointed by the Holy Spirit, which I said, I believe I have. So they said, well, can you speak in tongues? And I said, I never have. So they prayed over me, and I think something unintelligible may have come out of my lips. And they said, well, you have a lot to say. I said, okay, I don't know what I said. And they said, well, wow. And I said, after they left, I was like, well, what difference will that make? What good will that do? Gifts of uttered wisdom, of knowledge, of faith, of healing, works of miracles and prophecy, discernment of spirits and tongues, what good are they if they serve only to be a litmus test for the presence of the Holy Spirit and nothing more? This is captured most poetically in the next chapter. I commend that to you today. Read the 13th chapter in 1 Corinthians. It's the love chapter. You know it from just about every wedding you've attended. But Paul says there, if I have all the gifts but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Take all these as only supernatural, only to be used in the confines of a church assembly to build each other's faith up. And I believe we underutilize, or perhaps worse, abuse the gifts. On the other hand, take them as fully natural, of a revealing of God's love and interaction with humankind. And I believe we begin to see the wonder and the power of a God who is at work in, through, and around us. Not primarily only in this place, but out there in the open spaces where there is a waiting for the light of God's hope to shine. What if wisdom is insight that you have when you know how to perfectly apply some knowledge to a situation and you wonder, where did that come from? What if healing and miracles were not about defying nature, but about reaching people's soul with a transformative presence that accomplishes something they could never achieve on their own? What if prophecy and discernment and even tongues were something like Martin Luther King Jr. had? What if they were about telling the truth to a situation that many people may be blind to, having the courage to reach out and a boldness to see and to speak truth? What if it wasn't about future casting or fortune telling or angelic language, but were instead wisdom infused with the courage that speaks truth, that clarifies places of confusion, that pierces darkness, and that enlightens those who hear with a new understanding of God's work in creation? What if those were the gifts? Church, I believe they are. And I believe we all have those gifts. Each of you are gifted in some way. Not to flaunt it, not to rank it, not to prove that God's power is at work in you. It is to be expressed and united with one another for the common good. The common good exercised in this place must be sought and done out there as the church in the world. In an address to the Southern Christian Leadership Conference on August 16, 1967, King said these words: "When our days become dreary and low hovering clouds of despair, and when our nights become darker than a thousand midnights, let us remember that there is a creative force in this universe, working to pull down the gigantic mountains of evil, a power that is able to make a way out of no way and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. Let us realize the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice." And if you would permit me to add to Dr. King's eloquence, we have a part in the creative force. We have a part in pulling down the gigantic mountains of evil. We, the church, the followers of Jesus Christ, the one who sacrificed everything for the common good, we have the power that is able to make a way out of no way and transform dark yesterdays into bright tomorrows. Believe that. Believe that. So that today, when you go out, you believe that you are bound together with people here, with people around the globe who confess Jesus Christ as Lord, who have been gifted by the Spirit to be the spreaders of light, to be the promoters of justice, to be the speakers of truth, to be the revealers of goodness. Let us march into this year doing the things that we know we are gifted and equipped to do, that may not be popular, that may not be safe, that may not even be noticed, but will make small progress toward ushering in the common good. Let us work together through the ministry and the mission of this church to help people see that our God is love, and that this love is greater than any hate based on race, gender, sexuality, nation, immigration status, political or religious ideology. This is the God we worship and serve. This is the God who has gifted us so that together our lives might be a gift to humankind. The Lord who speaks to us and strengthens us and blesses us with peace, be all glory and honor forever. And all God's people said, Amen.